These testimonies, these report backs, these prayers are important. We try very hard to preach on us being a partnering church. We're not alone. So if you're new to Cornerstone, we are 10 sites wide across the city, soon to be 12 we're praying into. If you guys are keen this afternoon, meet with JJ and Dorothy this morning. Ask them about a prayer meeting that's happening in Midrand later today for what God is doing in Midrand. We want to see a Midrand site start. But we're not alone. We partner. We partner into Kenya. We partner into North America. There are a number of elders out. Marcus is out this morning with Tyron and a team down in KwaZulu-Natal meeting with churches there this morning. Marcus is with Nick and Shanae Maritz, who planted out of Cornerstone into Bolito. We partner. We're not alone. That's so important. All those little gold stickers, we partner. And this week, just to report back on the National Elders Week that we've had, this week was absolutely incredible. Can I just ask, I don't know if there's anybody, if you are visiting and you're still lingering from the week and you're from another church, would you mind just standing so we can just say hello to you? Anybody here still lingering from, hello, there we go. Yes, we do. Up at the back. Hello. We've had, I think, over 600 people here during the course of between Monday and Friday, men, women, partnering, leading churches all around Southern Africa, and it was such a good time. Can I ask next, if you helped in any way, just in preparing for that week? Now, there were people preparing 2 weeks before where people have been painting. I hope you've noticed there's a bit of a paint difference in the building. If not, you've broken David's heart because he's worked really hard. And if you didn't notice and you just walked in and said, it looks the same as it has for the last 10 years, he will cry, but that's okay. But if you've helped in any capacity, hosting, brying, serving, standing at a door smiling, parking cars, would you mind just standing so we can give you a big thank you? Come on, don't be shy. No one did anything. Come on, just stand up, guys. Ethan, you painted. You can stand up. Good job. Can I just tell you the amount of times people said to us, the elders, and just said, thank you, Cornerstone Church, that we get to host this. Guys, when it's Cornerstone Church, it's not just the elders. It's us. We are Cornerstone Church. And so for us to be able to host over 600 men and women for something that's going to impact the nations, guys, just well done. Well done, church, on being open, available, for the resource that we get to put in, for the vision you put in, for backing it. And I want you to catch this heart because we're going to do this again and again and again. That's why we have this auditorium. I must tell you, though, seeing over 600 people in here from all other churches was absolutely fantastic. But this morning, I was incredibly excited because I had Bedford View Cornerstonians back in this venue. So I'm really excited to see you guys here. This is us, and we've got work to do. And so we're going to keep going. And on that, we're going to get to this morning's preach. We will pray at the end of this meeting. We are going to call the band back up. That's why we stopped us singing a little bit earlier. I want us to get this word under our, or in our hearts, and off of that, we need to respond before God and say, Lord, work in our hearts. And sometimes we just need, what does the scripture say to us? And then we're going to get to that. So we are preaching through a Firm Foundation series. We're on the 8th part this morning. If you've missed them, you can find them on our website. They're all there. And all we're doing, so importantly, is we are reminding ourselves as sons and daughters of God, how do we build our lives as the Christians we're called to be? And some of this we call foundations, and we can almost dismiss foundations and saying we don't need them anymore. No, we do. Every now and then foundations get a little bit of a crack, or we might misunderstand something, or we take it for granted. We are building, and we are building. And the reason why we're building is because God is doing more. He's calling us to more. And so that is our heart with this series this morning. We're going to go to part 8. But I remember a few years ago, we had an Equip out in Randburgside. And I remember this clearly. It was one of the defining moments of my walk with God. And it was one of the sessions. And in that session, the preacher was going to be on the Holy Spirit and us needing to live filled and led by the Holy Spirit. And I remember, I can't remember if it was before or after the preach, but I remember during some of the prayer time or during the worship, God said to me this. God said, Greg, at that moment I was married. I don't think we had kids yet, but he said, Greg, if you continue as you are in yourself, in your own ability, you'll be a husband and you'll be an okay husband. I hope, Nicole, I've been an okay husband. He said, you'll be a dad and you'll be okay as a dad. You'll be good. I was a high school teacher and I loved it. He said, and you'll still keep teaching and you'll be good at your job and you'll be in the church and you'll be a deacon and you'll be good at all those things. But Greg, I must warn you, that's what I really felt God say. He said, Greg, this will be it. That is it. That is the extent of your life. And now that's not dismissing that if that's what you've got, that's not enough. To be a husband is incredible. To be a father is incredible. To be serving in a local church is incredible. But God just said, but Greg, if you choose to live filled and led by the Spirit, the picture shifted. He said, there's an open horizon and anything is possible in your life. Will you dream? Will you believe, Greg, that there is more as a husband, as a father, as a leader within local church, within the nations, within what I've called you to? And he said almost, you decide, Greg. Choose to do this on your own, and this is where your life story ceases. It'll be this for the next 70 years. You'll just stay within that. Or choose to be filled and led by the Holy Spirit. Choose to live beyond your own ability, beyond your own flesh, your own blood, your own power, your own sense of I'm good at this and trust me, Greg, for more, and anything is possible. Whenever we get to preach and teach on who the Holy Spirit is, there's an excitement in my heart because I know I'm a very ordinary Greg, but I know a Greg who is filled and led by the Holy Spirit, anything is possible. Watch this space. But I believe the absolute same for you. Is that if you're going to do things in this walk of God in your own flesh and blood, I think you've reached your max or you're going to reach it soon. You're going to be a fisherman who simply believes in the teachings of Jesus, or you're going to be a Peter who preaches to a city the gospel truth and see a city transformed. That was a fisherman who did that. You're going to be a young little Mary who is just going to marry some carpenter from Nazareth and live your life in poverty because they were poor. Or in faith, you're going to walk and raise up the Son of God who's going to transform this world. What is your call? And so this morning, we are going to look this morning at us living a life filled with the Holy Spirit. I wonder if you feel a bit like that this morning. And it's a real challenge I'm sensing for many of us this morning. Perhaps you're saved by Jesus. And you've joined the church, that's good. You've possibly even joined a life group, that's fantastic. You've been baptized. But perhaps you've found yourself in a place that gets stagnant. I don't know if you ever find that. You get to a point in your Christian walk and now you're at this place of, well, now what? You see, what happens with life is that life happens. You get a job that demands your time and you get busy. Your family is needing you, absolutely, and you get busy with that. You're a husband, you're a wife, you have kids, and that even requires more time from you, and you're just managing your life. The boss is demanding deadlines. Your family has needs. You have financial needs. Joburg is a very, very busy, busy place. In that, you're just trying to be social. In that, you're just trying to find leisure, and you're just thinking, Lord, is this it? Is this the run of life that I get to live by? There's a saying that says, the average age that people die is 27, but then they get buried when they're 75. You stop living at about 27 because all you're doing is you're stuck in that rut. You've got the job, you've got the family, and please, I'm not dismissing that at all. I'm not. I'm telling you that within that, God says there's so much more. Within all of it. And here's the promise. God is promising over us. There's so much more. When you read the stories in the book of Acts, God's not saying that was what once was. It's still happening today. Mark just shared some book of Acts stories in Kenya. And so there's so much more. There's a word that came up this morning. And it's a word that I felt during our time in the last 2 weeks of prayer and fasting for the country. And I really feel God is challenging the church. And he's saying, church, it's time to wake up. Wake up. And we see it come up many times. This morning in the elders' prayer time, Jacob, which is so fascinating, Jacob in the Old Testament is used by God in so many ways. God leads him. God reminds him of the prophecies that were over Abraham and over Isaac and now over Jacob. And only later on, years after God's done the miracles in Jacob's life, it says this. It says, Jacob woke up And then he realized that God was in this place and he did not know it. It blows my mind that he didn't know God despite God working in his life. God is working in your life and you might not even know it. We need to wake up and come to this point of saying, Lord, you are here. And I am now aware of it. We see Jonah, who falls asleep on the boat, sailing in the opposite direction of where God's called him to. And the sailors about to die wake him up and say, wake up and pray to your God because we need salvation. I believe that's a word for the church. Church, wake up. The world needs saving and we know God who saves. But church, don't fall asleep in the opposite direction of where God's calling you. Wake up and do what God's called us to. And there's a word to the church in Sardis. Let me read this here. In the book of Revelation, Jesus says to write his letters to the different churches, and he says this, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. I feel this morning there's a waking up that God wants to do in our hearts. And if you are feeling stagnant, if you're feeling like you're in your lot of life and this is it, I want to get you a little bit excited this morning. We're going to preach about who the Holy Spirit is and the work that he has promised to do in our lives. And your response solely will be this, Lord, I choose him. I'm awake. Surely God is in my heart. Surely the Holy Spirit is in my life, and I did not know it. But my prayer today is that you'll say, but now I do. And because I do, my life will never be the same again. Now, before I keep preaching, I'm going to give you a moment to leave the auditorium if you do not want that. You do not want your life to change. You do not want the more. You don't want to live in the fullness of what God has for you. The adventure, the passion, the excitement. Paul says, I think it's in 1 Thessalonians, he says, now we live. Because he's going out to the churches. He is ministering the gospel, the good news of salvation. The world is changing because ordinary men and women are captured by this man named Jesus. And they're going out wherever they can, just being ambassadors for a kingdom, knowing one day their king shall come again and we shall receive rewards beyond our imagination. And that the king would look upon you and say, well done, good and faithful servant. Are you ready to wake up? So I am. I'm excited. I know I'm preaching to me this morning, so at least I'm going to be changed. I pray. Please, Lord. So the challenge when we preach around who the Holy Spirit is that the Holy Spirit is to be experienced, not known. Not just academically known of. It does not help us, friends, if this morning we know the scriptures and we can give a great theology on who the Holy Spirit is, but you have not experienced him. If you've not experienced him, you're missing him. And that's where the churches have battled in the past. Right now, churches are divided around who the Holy Spirit is. There's a book written, The Forgotten God, all about who the Holy Spirit is. Because many churches would say, I love the Father. He's wonderful. And I love Jesus because he died for me. But the Holy Spirit, I just don't know. We need to know. He is to be known, but he's to be experienced. And we are not going to make that experience weird. We're not going to make that experience man-made. This morning, when we pray for somebody, we're not pushing anybody over. We're not going to ask you to start laughing abnormally. We're going to ask you to have an open heart to a person this morning. So what I want to do this morning is unpack scripture and let the scripture stir your heart, move you forward. See if you're missing the truth of what God is promising over us and then respond. So if you have a Bible, please have it ready. If you have a notebook, have it ready. Just write down these scriptures. There's going to be a lot this morning, which is important. I'm not giving you my opinion today. I'm giving you the word of God, which is far greater than my opinion. And so weigh up the word, weigh it up in your life. A lot of the verses will pop up, but church, this is something, a foundation we need built in our life. So let's begin. The question of who is the Holy Spirit, let's have a look at some of his characteristics, some of his attributes. Firstly, the Holy Spirit is a person. He's not an impersonal force. He's not like in Star Wars that the force is strong in this one. He's not that. He's a person. Scripture speaks about him as he and him, never it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. I would never call you an it. I call you he, I call you she, but he is referred to as him. He acts personally. He speaks. He encourages. He comforts. He convicts. He can even be grieved. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is God. He is God, and therefore he carries the same divine attributes, the godly characteristics of God. He is everywhere, omnipresent. He knows all things, omniscient. He's all-powerful, omnipotent. He is eternal. He's involved in all the things of God. He's involved in creation. He's there. He's involved in the regeneration of us. He's there. He's involved in sanctification. He is there. He intercedes for us and prays for us. He was involved in God, the Son, becoming human by being conceived in the womb of a virgin. He is God. The Holy Spirit functions as the executive in the Trinity. So he carries a role within the Trinity. He's called the Spirit of God and the Spirit of Christ, telling us the unity of the Trinity. A way you can understand the roles and the functions within the Trinity, the Father plans. He says, this is my will. It is done through Jesus who mediates it. He's the mediator. But the Spirit executes the plans of God. He's the one who executes it. In Hebrews 9:14, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? The Holy Spirit is the promise and the gift of the Father. In Acts 1 verse 4, it says, while staying with him, Jesus told his disciples, do not depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In Luke 11:13, it says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He is a gift. He is a promise. The Holy Spirit gives us the experience of God. We experience God. We experience the Word of God. When you're reading Scripture, and here's an encouragement, before you read Scripture, ask the Holy Spirit to help you experience Scripture. Lord, may your Word speak to me. May your Word read me. May your Word challenge me and encourage me and help me and disciple me and pastor me. The Holy Spirit helps us to experience the Word of God. We get to experience the fruit of the Spirit, as described in Galatians, love and joy and peace and patience. There's a list. But we get to experience that fruit. It's not just a fancy list of emotions that we learn at children's church. They are to be experienced. Are you experiencing love? Are you experiencing joy and self-control? If not, ask the Holy Spirit who gives us the experience of these things, because that is what he is called to do. We experience the assurance of salvation all by the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. The attributes go on, and I can't cover too many of them this morning, but there's a touch of who he is. So what does Jesus say about the Holy Spirit? Some of us will say, well, I absolutely believe everything Jesus says. I'm not so sure about the Holy Spirit, but I believe in Jesus. The red letters in the Bible, I'll trust them completely. The rest are up for debate, maybe. That's not true. Please don't ever say that. But look what Jesus says about who the Holy Spirit is. In Luke 3 and in Luke 4, it tells us how the Spirit anointed Jesus at his baptism for his ministry. Jesus was filled by, led by, and operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 3:21, it says, when Jesus had been baptized, he was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, you're my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased. In Luke 4, it says, Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And then in verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus did not live separate to the Holy Spirit in his life. He was filled, led by, empowered by the Holy Spirit. If so with Jesus, how much more with us? The promise is for us, but the demand, the need, and the desire has to be with us. One of Jesus' greatest teachings about the Holy Spirit is at the Last Supper that he has with his disciples. In John 14, he says, verse 16 to 18, he says, I'll ask the Father, and he's going to give you another helper who will be with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth. It will be the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. Because he dwells with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Without the Holy Spirit in our lives, Jesus says we are still orphans and we lack help. Jesus says it's even better that he leaves so that the Holy Spirit could come. In John 16:7, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I, Jesus, I go away. I ascend to the Father. If I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So the question is, does Jesus believe in our need for the Holy Spirit in our lives? So absolutely. So much so that he said, I will leave so that he can come. Because he's got a role and a function to play in your lives, as Jesus has a role and function to play in our lives too. Jesus tells his disciples, I need you to wait in Jerusalem for the Spirit to come upon you, to empower you. In Luke 24, verse 49, he says, now I'll send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. We see that promise again in Acts 1, verse 8. The Holy Spirit is a gift to us. We have to desire him. Jesus never suggests to us that the Holy Spirit is an optional extra. He never says, if you'd like him in your life, you choose. He might help you, he might not. Jesus says, no, he is vital. As Jesus lived and ministered in reliance of the Holy Spirit, friends, this morning, you and I need to live our lives in reliance on, in relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want to give you a very silly example quickly of how God keeps reminding me of this. I enjoy to play squash. I really enjoy squash, and if you've ever played, it's a great game. When I get to play regularly, and when I play, there's some days the game just doesn't feel right. If you play tennis or paddle or anything racket-based, I guess, you'll get the analogy. But sometimes when I'm playing, the game's a little bit off. Just miss hitting the ball a little bit. It's not tight enough. You hit the ball more down the middle. You should hit the ball down the wall. You should hit the ball deep. You're trying to drop it, but you're hitting the tin. And often in the middle of those games, while I'm busy playing, you're trying to coach yourself and trying to fix something. So here's a bit of free coaching for you guys. Well, I'm not going to charge you for this. This is free of charge. This is coaching right now. In those moments, the best thing to do is simply to tell yourself, watch the ball. Just watch the ball. And it literally means just watch the ball. So the next time I'm receiving, I'm watching the person who's serving. I'm watching the ball in their hand. I'm watching him throw it up. I watch him hit it off the wall. It's coming to me. And you keep your eye on that ball the whole time. And as you hit it, your eye's on the ball and you watch it the whole time. You're just watching the ball. And the change that happens in a moment in my game is phenomenal. Everything is tighter. The ball's hit sweeter. The shots that were hitting the tin are now up. Just because you watch the ball, your game improves. I can still play squash even if I don't watch the ball. I can still hit it. I can still run around, but I won't do great. I'll make mistakes, I'll mess up, but I'll still get to play squash. But I'll play squash better if I watch the ball. Now God, knowing how to speak to Greg, in the middle of a squash game, nudges me a bit and says, Greg, can I talk about your life a little bit? I'm like, Lord, I'm trying to win a squash game, come on. He says, Greg, you know how you need to watch the ball to be better at squash? You need to watch the Holy Spirit to be better in life. And he's so true. And while I'm playing squash, I'm like, yo, Greg, if you just live your life with him, things will be better. They'll be sweeter. You won't be as loose in your shots. You won't be reckless. You see, if I don't watch the Spirit in life, I will still live life. Right now, this morning, if I'm not watching the Holy Spirit as I preach, I will still be preaching to you. But I could miss the mark completely. I could really suck this morning. And if I do, you can come tell me and say, Greg, you weren't watching the Holy Spirit. You were so bad this morning. I'll ask the Holy Spirit how he felt it went. But in all things, When I'm being a husband to my wife, am I watching the Spirit in the way I speak to her? When I'm at work in a board meeting and they're making big decisions, am I watching the Holy Spirit to give words of advice and counsel? When there's ethical moments, am I watching the Holy Spirit and saying, Lord, what should I do in this moment? Now, you can still do everything in your life, but if you do not do it, keeping an eye and living with the Holy Spirit, you'll still do it, but you won't do it well. You will miss it. Just like in a squash game, I'll still play squash, but it'll be a bad game. And I'll walk out there frustrated and say, what was wrong today? And God would say, just watch the ball. And in life, Lord, what was wrong today? Well, you did it alone, Greg. You did it by yourself. You just trusted your instinct. You just trusted your reputation. You just trusted what you did the last game. You got to show up every single time. I just feel God saying with life, choose in all ways. Before you bring discipline, parents, to your kid, just keep your eye on the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, what do I do here? How do I do this well and right? Before you make big decisions, before you weighing up what your budget does, don't just trust on what you've done. You might just miss the mark. Lord, what is it that I do that does well with you? Keep your eye on him. When we're reading the Word of God, when we're praying, when we're worshiping, keep your eye on him. Holy Spirit, I need you. So our response needs to be that we need to desire him after what we've just read. Who he is, what Jesus says about him, the work he wants to do in our lives, we need to desire him. We need to ask the Father for him. Now here's what's important, is that he is in our lives. If you believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, he is with you. He's in your life. He was there that you came to salvation. He is a part of your regeneration, your salvation. So we're not asking him who is so far away if he would be happy to come and dwell within you. Scripture says it, the Spirit will dwell with you forever. So he's not missing. He just needs you, not you need him. And he likes to remind us of this. It's such a good reminder. Not asking, Lord, I want more of you. It's saying, Lord, can I give you more of me? Because he's a person. You can't have more of a person, but we withhold the Holy Spirit having us in him. And so this morning, will we desire him? Will we say to him, Lord, I want to surrender to you. I want to open my heart to you. I did not know, Lord, that you were here, but now I know, and I choose you, and I call upon you. The call is to walk by the Spirit, to not grieve him, and to long to continually be filled with him. So let me end this morning before we respond. Just a few examples of what life would be like without the Holy Spirit and what life would be like with the Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at a few pointers. I'm going to run through a number of scripture here, but just write it down, or you can even ask me afterwards for the notes. I'll happily give it. But without the Holy Spirit, we live without experiencing the full presence of God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in your life, you will not experience the full presence of God. Friends, you should long for the presence of God. When we come to church on Sunday, it's not to hear Greg share a message. It is that we can experience God. That is our prayer. If we could just have a moment with you, Lord, our lives will be filled. And then tomorrow, and the next, a continual experience of God. But with the Holy Spirit, we will have fellowship with God. 2 Corinthians 13 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the fellowship be with you all. John 15, 26, when the Helper comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. He's going to tell you about me. You want to know more about the Father, about the Son, even about the Spirit? Ask the Spirit. Bear witness about God and the things of God. May I experience him, not just know about him, but experience him. Without the Holy Spirit, we rely on our own vision. But with the Spirit, we can know God's direction. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 to 10, it says, as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Do you want to know the many things God's got for you? Ask God, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal those things to you. He gives us vision. This church is led by the vision of the Spirit as given by the Father, exalting Jesus Christ. That is how we live. We're not living by the vision of men and women with fancy ideas. Your own life cannot be lived by your own vision, but by the vision that is given by the Father, that the Spirit speaks to us, revealed to us through the Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we rely on our own fallible understanding and our own wisdom. Fallible means it is flawed. Our understanding is flawed. There are many things we cannot explain or know. There's much wisdom we do not have. But with the Spirit, we have God's wisdom. We have knowledge and we have power. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4. My speech, my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you want to function and live in the wisdom and the knowledge and the power of God, we need to live with the Holy Spirit in our lives. Without the Holy Spirit, we rely on our own interpretation of God's word. And that's good to read the word, but it's dangerous if you start applying it. Some of the worst disasters in history were men and women who falsely interpreted God's word and made it God's word. You could almost explain anything if you manipulate God's word. The devil even did it. Said to Jesus, God's word says if you jump from the temple, he'll save you. And Jesus says, but God's word also says you won't test the Lord your God. And so we can manipulate it, but the Holy Spirit helps us to know the truth of God's word and that it lives inside of us. In 1 Peter 1, verse 20, it says, no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy by the Holy Spirit, not by man. Spirit working and speaking through men and through women. Without the Holy Spirit, we rely on our own power. A great story of that, a sad story, we laugh at it a bit. Well, the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts, they've seen men and women anointed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, praying for people and seen the demonic flee and the sick being healed. And these sons of Sceva come to somebody who has this demonic possession. They say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, we don't know Jesus, but the one who Paul preaches, you should come out. And they say, listen, we know Jesus. We even know Paul, but who are you? And the story says that they were beaten and they ran away naked crying. Are you operating in your own power? Be careful how you're going to run away. Or are we going to function, operate in the power of God, led and filled by the Holy Spirit? You'll receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses. Without the Spirit, you may doubt your salvation. Have you ever done that? Have you ever wondered, God, have you saved me? God, will I be in your kingdom if I had to pass today? We should not live in doubt, friends. We should not live wondering, Lord, am I saved? Am I not saved? Am I good enough? There's a false gospel that you're holding on to if those are the questions you're asking. But Ephesians says, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. He's the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. The Spirit in your life is a testimony, is evidence that you are saved. And if this morning you're saying, Greg, I don't even have the Spirit in my life. If you believe in Jesus, he's there. Wake up this morning and say, you've been there, Lord, and I did not know, but today I will know. And with that will come the assurance of your salvation. I believe that. Without the Spirit, we rely on our own courage and our own boldness. But with the Spirit, we're given boldness and courage to be obedient. Friends, for the things God's calling you to, there's a courage that's beyond you. There's a boldness that's beyond you and me. The things I know God's calling me to, I don't have the courage for it. But I know that walking with the Holy Spirit, I'll have the courage to do anything. Anything. Lay it down in front of me right now. Filled and led by the Spirit. Anything is possible for simple, ordinary Greg. Anything is possible for you because of the Spirit in your life. You need evidence of that? Just read the New Testament and see what God did with ordinary men and women. The world was changed. Still today, the world will be changed because of us, because of you, but not by your own courage, not by your own boldness. Without the Spirit, we rely on our own character, but with the Spirit, we bear fruit that matures and sanctifies us. He will mature you. He will fix your life. He will change things that need to be changed. He will do that in you. Without the Spirit, we're limited in prayer. With the Spirit, we pray the perfect will of God. To pray in the Spirit, the gift of tongues. If you do not pray in the gift of tongues, Ask God for the gift of tongues. Pray and say, Lord, I want to be able to pray in the Spirit because I want my prayer to be impactful. Because sometimes, Lord, I don't know what to say. I've been there. I've been there, Lord. I don't know what to say. God said, well, pray in the Spirit, Greg. If you want to know more about that, come, let's ask about it. Let's pray that the Spirit will give us and help us to grow in our prayer, even with wisdom to what to pray into. Then lastly, without the Spirit, we operate in our flesh. And we operate in our flesh, but we can't participate in the miraculous. But with the Holy Spirit, we get to minister, serve, and live at our call. And we participate in the miraculous. With the Spirit, we receive the gifts of the Spirit. With the Spirit, we receive that anointing, that empowering to do the miraculous. Can I ask the band to come up? Forgive me if I've rushed through that. And like I've said, I'm happily give you notes and the preach will be available in the week. This is not a morning thing. This is a life foundation we need to build. My hope this morning, though, is that I could stir us to be aware of our absolute need for the Holy Spirit in our lives, to not fear who He is, to not question or be anxious. If you've had past experiences where before you've been freaked out about who He is, you need to get over that and you need to get back to God's Word and say, Lord, this is who You say He is. If You say He must be in my life, He must be in my life. And the good news, friends, is that He's already there. What I'm asking you to do is that you would say, Lord, actually, I want You to take control here, to lead and to fill.